everybody, and welcome back to DC Talk. To all you DC fans out there, if this is your first time joining us, hello. If this is your, if you decided to join us back again, hello to you too. And with all that being said, I am Mike, and I have with me another co-host, and her name is Carrie. Carrie, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm, you know, just sitting here. It's relatively cool this weekend, so I'm not baking.
At least not baking
in the sense that it's not a billion degrees in my apartment. I'm also not baking in the sense of, you know, things that are, you know, legal in California and not legal in other places.
Well, I'm not baking here. It is hot outside, though. We are in an unprecedented heat wave here in this old area. And, okay. Unnormal for this time. It was you had to wear a coat last week, beginning of last week, and then this week it's 90s. So that's a pretty great heat wave we got going on.
Yeah, but you know, climate change isn't real. It's just a hoax, right?
Absolutely.
Because all right, we won't get into that because
it could get political. Unfortunately, everything can get political nowadays, but we're not here to talk about politics.
Yes,
we're here to
agreed.
Talk about DC stuff. This is number 154. This is June the 6th of 2021. And unfortunately for all of our listeners out there, this is the last time you're going to hear me for 2 weeks, but I do not leave you alone. Carrie will be taking over DC Talk next week, and Carrie will be taking over and possibly have a co-host with her too. We don't know. We could, we could, maybe not.
Maybe.
We don't know. Maybe she said, "You know what? I'm gonna freeball this thing. I've got it."
Maybe there will be absolutely no news, and I can take a week off. We'll see.
Which is about what this week almost ended up.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? It's a nice change because last week we had a ton of news, and this week is kind of a nice change of pace.
But
anyway, so we are DC Talk. We are a proud member of the Random Chatter Podcast Network. Go to randomchatter.com for all your podcasting needs. Guardians of the MCU, Cape Chronicles, Enter the Dojo, DC Talk, of course, Tight Beam, Force Chatter, Movie Chatter, Random Chatter. Anything you can chatter on, we got it.
Yeah.
So check all that stuff out at randomchatter.com. Well, with all that being said, let's go ahead and carry and go to some flash news here.
All right. So the Flash director has revealed the return of Michael Keaton's classic Batman suit for the Flash movie.
Now, what did you think when you first saw this? Carrie's clapping.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff we've been wanting to see, right?
The
melding of the multiverse.
Right.
So
yeah, this is a good point for
this
it.
Is awesome.
Now, I'll tell you what and I thought. Watch
there,
it.
And there's some blood spatter on this picture in the article too, and that bodes well.
Made me think of Watchmen.
Yes. Yes.
So, just saying, maybe they can watch it. I love it because I love that classic Batman suit, and I can't wait to see what this movie's really going to get. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's shaping up to be really, really good. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Also in the news, Doom Patrol has wrapped season 3 of filming.
Oh, snap.
So, yay!
And I think Jovian Wade said,
"It feels like last day at school, 6 months and a million takes and 1,000 emotions later. What a ride! Doom Patrol season 3 comes to an end, and boy, you all are gonna love it.
Best season yet. Wow!
Which means that this is going to be completely bonkers.
Pretty much because
yeah,
Crazy Jane and Cliff.
Crazy stuff I can't say because Michael will have to edit me.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So nice.
I try.
Appreciate that. I know. I know. So I'm glad that it's finally wrapped filming, which means we'll probably see it toward the end of this year. When like I could see it jumping down probably in November.
Yeah.
So because Titans is August. So this one will probably be October, November if they wrap
maybe
it
December,
that way.
Depending on
yeah
on how long on the airing schedule for Titans. I think Titans is usually 13 episodes anyway. So
yeah.
By the way, speaking of Titans, I post this in the news because it was kind of just a blurb. The guy who plays Connor on Titans posted a wanted poster for Superboy, and that makes me all kinds of nervous.
What about Crypto? Was Crypto there?
They didn't say.
Okay. Wonder what Superboy did.
Well, he did kind of hurt a bunch of people last season when he was brainwashed.
That's true. That is true. And but maybe they could just, like, look over that.
Really?
Okay, I have a theory. Okay?
Yes?
This is an extremely far-out theory, all right?
Yeah.
I think Superboy's going to be in trouble, obviously. And I think I know who's going to bail him out. And
Lex
it's
going to
be a secret. It's not been told yet. Lex Luthor is going to bail him out.
I just guessed Lex Luthor, dude.
I just think it's going to be Lex Luthor who's going to bail him out. And because we don't have a casting yet for Lex Luthor, so I wonder if they're keeping it under the hat, and they're going to reveal another live action Lex Luthor.
See, I'm wondering if it's going to be Bruce.
Oh, man, I would want to see Lex though so bad in Titans.
You know, if they do cast Lex in Titans, I would love to see just, you know, for a minute or two, just Lex and Bruce on screen, you know, glaring daggers at each other or verbally sparring or something.
Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
But I don't know who's going to bail him, but I think he'll get bailed out by somebody. I think it's going to be a big plot point. So
maybe he'll be bailed out by Superman. I mean, Superman is the other half of his genetic code.
I know, but I don't know if they're gonna bring Superman on that screen though.
Yeah,
they're running him pretty heavy over on Superman and Lois.
Yeah,
that's my other
reason for thinking it might not be Lex is that because this season of Titans is sounding like it's going to be pretty Bat-family-centric.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if Bruce Wayne's going to be the one to help out Connor.
He could. And yeah. I think you're right. It does sound like it's going to be a lot more Bat-heavy. So, who knows? But speaking of which, by the way, if you haven't been watching Superman and Lois, you need to get your butt off this podcast. Come back and listen to us in a second. But go watch Superman and Lois.
Well, you should probably watch Superman and Lois before you listen to our character profile this week.
Yes.
Because there are bad spoilers.
It is a absolutely fantastic show, thank goodness. I love this show, everything about it. It is so good. I love it. Sorry. I can't keep bragging enough about the show.
I know. And we I think we've stated before, we are not Superman fans here.
Right. I know I'm not, for sure. And I know you're not.
No. But and we've gone completely off the rails with news, but there's only four news items this week, so, you know, what the heck. Mm. I like that they have roughed him up a bit and, you know, given him some edges that and allowed him to admit that he has a temper and that sometimes he's like barely keeping himself in check, which is interesting.
Yes.
It makes him more interesting.
It makes him more relatable as a person, as a hero. And that was my biggest issue with any normal Superman movie. Is that they don't make Superman relatable. I can't stand Supermans when they're goody-goody-two-shoes, Boy Scouts. I can't stand it because I can't relate. But That's why I liked Man of Steel, because Man of Steel showed a different side of him, mm-hmm. a man who actually struggles. And I know that doesn't write a lot of people the wrong way, but it's cool, whatever.
Yeah.
I do agree.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So David F. Sandberg has shared a very, very brief teaser from Shazam Fury of the Gods.
Sort of.
They're kind of sort of teasing Shazam's new costume, except yep. for the fact that Billy forgot to turn the lights on, which is hilarious.
Yes. David Sandberg makes Shazam the same way that, like, RDJ makes Iron Man. Like, you cannot separate certain characters, and I love that.
Yes.
So,
yes, agreed.
That's good. I got a little teaser. It doesn't give anything away. There's no spoilers, so
there are no spoilers because he's standing there in the dark.
Exactly. He's like, maybe we should turn lights on, guys.
Apparently, the only spoiler is that his costume, the lightning bolt on his costume, doesn't light up anymore. Maybe. I don't know.
Wonder why.
All right. Anyway. Our last news item here, Joel Kinnaman has opened up about the original Suicide Squad's shortcomings. Basically, he said, you know, it had great characters. I thought the first 40 minutes of the film was effing great. And then there were conflicting versions, and it just ended up being what we all hoped it was, you know? It didn't feel like the movie we were hoping to make. So, and apparently he's been a lot kinder about it than David Ayer has been. So, just one more reason to let David Ayer revisit the movie and release his cut.
Yeah.
Because why not at this point?
Well, right, we're doing it. By the way, kind of going along those lines mm-hmm. of releasing his cut, Snyder still has yet to been contacted by the Warner Brother higher-ups about the success of his Justice League.
Yeah.
So, they're not going to admit when they're wrong. No.
Well,
they're not going to admit when they're wrong.
With this whole changeover to Warner Brothers Discovery, maybe they'll change.
Give them a shot.
Maybe. Who knows?
But, we shall see. But yeah, and we know the new Suicide Squad comes out August 6th, so that's going to be great. So if you don't have it on HBO Max, guys, get HBO Max, because that's where you're going to see this movie.
Unless you go see it in a theater.
Unless you go see it in a theater. I'm probably going to see it on HBO Max. The first movie I'm going to see in theater, actually, I'm building up to, is a couple weeks. Fast 9 is coming out in theaters.
And
the first movie I go back to see to be Fast 9, because it was the first movie canceled for a year back when COVID started, that I am a huge fan of this. I've been doing a rewatch, and when I saw it was canceled last year, I was so hurt and upset, so I wanted to make sure this was the first movie I saw back in theaters.
Well, at the risk of annoying any DC fans out here, I think possibly if my best friend and I can you know, get our acts together, possibly the first thing I go back to see in the theaters is gonna be Black Widow, because AMC has this thing where you can rent out the theater for like $250 or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Black Widow.
Yeah.
Y'all need to listen to Cape Chronicles here when it drops, because we're talking about the Avengers, and I have a hot take about Black Widow and about my feelings toward a Black Widow movie. And you'll have to listen to Cape Chronicles to find out what that hot take is. So.
I'm afraid. I'm very afraid.
Be afraid. Do it.
Anyway, that is our news.
That's it. So,
Mike.
Here we go.
You're up.
After 2 weeks, Gideon's Character Archive. Here is who we are talking about today. We are going to be talking about a man who was on Superman and Lois. So if you have not watched Superman and Lois, I'm going to warn you for the next 5 or so, 10 minutes or whatever, this is probably going to be spoiler territory. So let me encourage you to go watch it before you listen to this character. If you really don't care, cool, because I'm going to start it in 3, 2, 1. this year, this week's Gideon's character archetype is Steel. And it goes by the name of John Henry Irons, which is a name you heard Captain Luther called on Superman and Lois. So we're going to talk about John Henry Irons. He first appeared back in June of 1993 in The Adventures of Superman, issue 500. He was the second character created that is known as Steel, was created by Luis Simonson and was described by an artist, John Bogdanov. John, just a little bit about his background. His parents were murdered when he was very young. So he felt the only way that he could protect his family was to become rich and powerful. So he went to Yale on a sports scholarship, and then he got hired by Ameritech Industries right after that. He's a ballistics expert who enjoyed both wealth and success, designing high-tech weapons for a contractor with government ties. Eventually, he used the money to help his family and was convinced he was doing really good work. However, when a series of weapon prototypes, the BG-60s, that sounds like a 70s disco band, were leaked to a terrorist cell in Karak, a firefight erupted that left many innocent people dead. Irons, who was flying over to inspect the scene, was horrified at the thought of what his work had led to. He destroyed the remaining prototypes and intended to delete all the information of a more powerful model, the BG-80, before going and hiding Metropolis. It almost carries the name of, it almost carries a similar thing to Iron Man.
I was about to say that. This sounds very Iron Man-esque.
Yes. There's no new story under the sun. So everybody.
No, there isn't. And Steel basically is kind of, sort of Iron Man, except he doesn't really have any projectile weapons. He just has that hammer. And that hammer is pretty darn awesome.
Oh, we're going to talk about that hammer in a second, because I want one. So he went into hiding in Metropolis after he saw everything, and he became a steel worker instead, and he went under the assumed name Henry Johnson. So one day while he was working, a co-worker on a high rise had fallen, and John Henry swung out to save him, only then to fall and plummet towards his death. But luckily, who would save him but Superman?
Mm-hmm.
So Henry told Superman he owed him his life, and Superman replied by telling him he should make it count for something. So not very long afterwards, Doomsday had smashed his way to Metropolis. And Irons tried to reach Superman, only to be buried in a collapsing building and was not able to free himself until too late. So we kind of saw a similar one on this when we watched Death of Superman.
Well, where that the death
was
of
there,
mm-hmm.
but still well, was death John of Henry Irons in at a high-rise building.
Well, right, but well, if memory serves, because I this is right around the time. Where I was still heavily reading comics.
Hello.
Sorry. One me. I didn't do it.
Not this time.
I didn't do it. If memory, because the basic rise of the Superman part of Reign of Superman of the Superman kind of mirrors what happened back in the 90s after Superman died. You had Steel, you had Superboy, you had what's his name, Eradicator, and then you had Cyborg Superman.
Okay.
And that was kind of a thing for a while, and then Superman, you know, got better, as you know, comic book characters always do, and they just stayed around. Although Connor did eventually dissolve into goo. At one point, and they had to Connor, aka Superboy, and he eventually got resurrected as well. But yeah, that was really sad.
Yeah, that was one of his bigger storylines. Was definitely the death and the reign of the Superman.
Yeah.
But you know, even after all this stuff had happened with like Doomsday, you continue on a little bit about his family. He found out that his weapons were being used by gangs on the street. Under the name of Toastmasters. Of course, that's a unique name. So Irons decided he must take an action. And Carrie, who's this sound like? So he forged a suit of armor, flight boots, and completed a look with an S emblem on and a cape. a little
but
bit.
No, like but no say. Computer edit, but no Jarvis.
That is true.
Because that would have been too close to.
So, a little bit about, that's a little bit of his background. Let's talk about a little bit about his powers, his abilities, and his weapons. Some of his powers are Dome Tech Transfusion. After incurring a near-fatal injury during Convergence, John Henry Irons had his entire physiology surgically modified with alien techno-organics to both restore and improve himself dramatically. Now, a nanomechanical entity, John Henry had once again became a literal man of steel, and that armor allows for metamorphosis, engine energy absorption, mechokinesis, which is the ability to control mechanics and engines and parts, and also a force field. Who the heck does that sound like?
Kind of sounds a bit like Magneto, except for the mechokinesis.
Yeah, but see, I was kind of thinking with like the techno-organics, that the little nanotech thingies, I'm thinking of the Infinity. I know it sounds bad, but I'm thinking of the Infinity War version of Iron Man where he's got like the nanotech.
Oh, yeah. The bleeding edge armor, yeah. Nanotechs. Yeah.
So, anyway, so he had that happen in his storyline. He's got genius level intellect. And he's as intellect in electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, science, weaponry, physics. He's computer operation knowledgeable. His steel armor. It's energy resistant. He has immune systems in his armor to help him fight off computer viruses because he's still got some of that alien organics in his system. It also protects him against mind control agents like Queen Bee's hypnotic pollen. We saw Queen Bee on Young Justice.
Yep.
He's got radioscopic scans. His armor is able to analyze photonic energy given off from an object through readout the armor gives. Superhuman durability, strength, jet boots. As far as his weapons goes, he has a rivet cannon that sometimes he mounts, and boom, bada boom, the kinetic hammer. And this is really cool because the further he throws it from, the more damage it does.
Which is something that he mentioned on Superman and Lois.
Correct. You
know, when he tried to bash Superman's skull in.
And I had to look up to make sure that that wasn't like something that Superman and Lois had made up for the show. And
no, I distinctly remember that.
So that is like really, really cool to me.
So he's kind of Iron Man, but with Thor's weapons.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Except for the lightning part.
Right. But I mean, so the further he throws that thing, so, what would win a battle? This kinetic hammer, if it had spun from a long distance, or Mjolnir? Just saying. It'd be a nice clash of the hammers.
Interesting.
Interesting thought. So
interesting thought.
Keep that in mind.
DC Marvel, if you're listening, next time you do a universe crossover,
we want to know which hammer would win.
We'd like to know.
So, if some notable groups he was in the Supermen of America, the Justice League of America, and he was also a member of Star Labs. His most notable comic storylines were The Death of Superman / Reign of Superman, of the Supermen, Steel, Returning Home, Worlds Collide, War with Black Ops, Superman Rescue, and The Death of Steel. He's appeared in multiple things, actually. He's appeared in Superman the Animated Series, and he was voiced by Michael Dorn. Phil Lamar voiced him in Justice League Unlimited. Zeno Robinson voiced him in Young Justice Outsider. Currently, he's being portrayed by Wole Parks on Superman and Lois. He was also portrayed by Shaquille O'Neal in the 1997 movie Steel. Carrie, why is it not on our list?
I'm not entirely sure that movie counts.
Oh, why is this not a Cape Chronicles list? We'll have to find out.
You spawned?
That's true. We're not going back anymore. Kerry Payton voiced him in Justice League Throne of Atlantis, by the way. If you don't know who Kerry Payton is, watch Walking Dead. He's Ezekiel.
Or watch Teen Titans, because he's the voice of Cyborg.
Oh, nice.
You didn't know that?
No.
Uh-huh.
Aha. Let's see. He is played by Cress Williams, or voiced by Cress Williams on Death of Superman and the Reign of Superman. For those who don't know who he is, watch Black Lightning and see Black Lightning. And then he was also appeared but did not speak in the most recent Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. So that is John Henry Irons. Just a little bit of background about him. I was so excited. As soon as I saw the Superman and Lois episode, I messaged Carrie and said, I know exactly who I'm doing the character archive on. And she said, Lex Luthor. I said, no,
no,
it's not
I did
Lex
not
Luthor.
Say Lex Luthor. You're the one who said it was who
well,
assured
I did
it was
say,
Lex Luthor.
No, it's not Lex Luthor. So, and then she said, very appropriate pick when she after she watched Superman and Lois.
Yeah, you did get to hear me sweary when that reveal dropped. I was very crude.
It was great. I loved it.
and then I started jumping up and down because.
Oh. So there won't be a character archive next week unless Carrie really wants to do it.
Nah, I can wait.
Okay. And there won't be a movie next week. Unlike there is a movie this week in the Watchtower. Carrie, what are we watching?
So, we watched Batman Assault on Arkham. And a little bit about this movie in Gotham City, the Riddler has secret information on top secret Task Force X that he threatens to make public before Amanda Waller can have him killed. He is captured by Batman, now with the Riddler imprisoned in Arkham Asylum. Amanda Waller assembles the Suicide Squad of captured villains with the mission to infiltrate the forensic mental hospital and retrieve Riddler's information, led by Deadshot and his Black Ops team. They make their way into the facility only to face complications from within and without the team, with secret agendas and double crosses all around. Meanwhile, Batman has his own concerns with the urgent search for the Joker's deadly bomb that threatens Gotham City. Eventually, all of these players converge on Arkham Asylum for a showdown that few are going to escape alive. Well, few civilians and normal law enforcement officers will escape alive. We only really lost two members of the Suicide Squad. One as the example for why you don't piss off Waller. And
yeah, who else did we lose?
KG Beast.
Right. We also lost KG Beast. We lost Killer Croc.
We did.
We lost Killer Frost.
Yes, we did. And we lost Black Spider.
And we lost, yep, Black Spider.
Not to get too political here, but you know, once you notice the pattern is there, and you know the token person of color on the squad gets the axe, which
yeah,
although it did serve the purpose of Batman infiltrating Suicide Squad, so that worked, I guess.
So then the only squad members who made it out live were Deadshot and Harley.
Yeah, pretty much. This is the one time where the addition of Giancarlo Esposito does not totally screw the rest of the cast, because he was the voice of Black Spider.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know this is based on the Arkham Asylum games, but this movie really should have been called Suicide Squad Assault on Arkham, because Batman is barely
in it.
It's really a Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah, they really could have taken Batman out of it completely, and it would have not hurt the plot whatsoever.
Well, except for Batman trying to find the bomb that was in Harley's mallet.
Right.
In hindsight, knowing that the bomb was there, not entirely sure Harley should have been bashing people over the head with that thing.
Did she know it was in there?
Probably not.
Yeah. So my thought on this movie is about the first 2/3 of this movie. I'm bored. this sounds really bad. I'm bored watching this movie. About
really?
The first 2/3. I mean, there were some interesting parts. There's some crazy parts like Deadshot and Harley getting together. Didn't expect that. But his response was, what the heck? So
he's single.
There were some interesting parts, but right when probably the last third of the movie is when it really got good for me. Like, I was like, okay, this is really good. I can't remember when it was actually that kicked in. Mm-hmm. But the first 2/3, again, they were okay. They were just kind of like, okay, cool. They're breaking in. They're fighting off Batman.
Well, it was a setup.
Right, it was a setup. So I really liked, since we're using a bunch of Marvel terminology this tonight, it was the end game in the last third, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. Far as that part goes.
Well, the last third is when everything all went to bleep, and you know, they had to start improvising pretty much.
Yes.
And I get what you're saying. The first 2/3 of the movie were rather slow, but it was interesting. And this is the second time I've seen the movie. It was interesting watching the setups for the double and triple crosses.
Yes,
that were going on, and also,
good.
And also, you know, talking about that, hitting on that history of, you know, people in Gotham, like for example, Penguin not wanting Harley around because she basically screwed him the last time she was in Gotham and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's par for the course. Does anybody really want Harley around?
I want Harley around.
Joker did too.
Harley's awesome. Well, Joker wanted the mallet with the bomb in it. She just happened to be holding it.
Yes. Joker was an interesting character in this movie.
Yeah. He's a little more lucid than...
He didn't seem as crazy as normal.
Yeah. And I know I said this about you know, Dark Knight Returns Part 2, where he was actually... And he wasn't quite as calm as he was in Dark Knight Returns, but yeah, he was kind of... You know, I mean, he's almost not quite Heath Ledger-esque.
Right.
You know, I just do stuff type thing, but he actually, and he is not having a plan. He actually did have a plan. It was bat crap plan, but, you know.
Well, it was all based on Harley shooting at him with the gun.
Yeah.
So everything was based on that.
Well,
because then he was able to...
Him getting out was based on that. I think, you know, if Harley had never gone for the mallet,
the plan would have been
Batman. Well, the bomb probably would have gone off and just would have incinerated Arkham.
Right.
And maybe parts of Gotham before Batman found it. Maybe Batman would have found it. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. But I definitely enjoyed the end of it a lot better, the ending to it. So it was an okay. But I do agree with you. It should not have been called Batman Assault on Arkham. It really should have been called Suicide Squad Assault on Arkham.
Oh. And okay, I know Waller in this movie is voiced by CeCe Powder, and she is. Awesome, always awesome as Waller, but for this movie in particular, every time she was yelling, I swear I heard Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Yes,
and I know Ursula's voiced by a different actress, but she had that same voice. And I'm like, what?
Voice, and mannerisms and everything made me think of Ursula.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad like, I want you on.
Like, she just needs to, you know, sprout tentacles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So, anything else about this movie?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, next time we have a movie, which will be in 2 weeks from now, so you guys have 2 weeks to watch it. We're going to watch one of my favorite DC animated movies.
Liar.
Liar. Okay, so we are going to watch a movie that I didn't like when I first saw it, but maybe a second showing will make it better. And we're going to watch Batman and Harley Quinn. 2 weeks. Carrie loves this movie.
I like this movie.
So I can't wait to talk about it. I think it's gonna be. I don't know. I'll check it out again, Carrie.
Okay.
So after watching this version of Harley, I wonder how that version of Harley may be compared.
Well, after watching two seasons of Harley Quinn.
That too. So.
Because I see shades of all of it in Batman and Harley Quinn. So.
It's all coming together.
It is all coming together, yes.
So, all right, guys. Well, listen, this has been DC Talk, episode number 154. And I'm going to miss you guys next week. But, hey, Carrie's in charge. So, whatever she says goes. If she wants a host, she can have a co-host. If she says,
I want to fire Mike, I can fire Mike.
Yeah. She can fire me for 1 week, but then I'll be back. It's cool. It's cool. And then I'll be gone for another week. It's going to be great, guys. It's going to be wonderful. June. So June for me, just give a little quick survey. June for me is a nightmare month because I am here, gone, here, gone, here, gone. It's just great. It's a great, great month. Great month. Carrie is taking a lot of the reins, and I appreciate her doing that. And to make sure you have all your DC news. I'm signing off for a couple weeks, so take care, good luck, be safe, and save a kitten in a tree this week.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Bye, everybody.